Howdy, and welcome to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast with Rochelle and Carter.
I like that Southern flair.
Howdy.
Yes, indeed.
And it's, I said it's so not Southern. Howdy. That's better. Howdy. Hey, and this is the cheesiest one yet.
All right. If you're listening to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast, and again, if you have not chosen to watch yet, I had a friend at church the other day. He's like, I haven't watched yet.
Okay.
He's missing these shirts.
Okay. So would you do the honors and read the shirt? I'm going to hold it out so everybody can see it.
Okay. There's a little picture of Mosquito with a thought bubble. I'll get to that in a second. At the beginning, it says, I want to be so full of Christ that if a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing. And then the thought bubble, or I guess the sound bubble, is there is power in the blood.
That's you read that so dryly. There is a thought bubble. It's a mosquito. And he's singing. It's the only time I've ever liked a mosquito. Look how cute he is. He has two teeth.
I still don't trust him.
I don't trust him either.
I don't trust him as far as I could smash him.
Speaking of smashing, you know the feeling you get when you've exercised and you've done something good for yourself or eaten right, maybe even loved on a family member or friend in need? That's the same kind of feeling that came over me when I killed a mosquito.
Wow. Yeah.
Which tells you something about Texas skeeters. But here's the thing. Carter, it was filled with somebody's blood. It wasn't singing power in the blood, but it was filled. And it was like, I took you out. And you've done so much damage, and I feel good about myself.
When it comes to grace and love,
yeah,
there's an exception when it comes to mosquitoes.
Like even cockroaches will eat your garbage, right?
Yeah, they at least do something, right? Yeah, true.
I
want to say if you have a comment about the mosquitoes or the shirts in general, or anything that we've discussed, and even this is going to be the best way to present a topic or a question, a thought, comment on the video.
Yes.
Because even if you're listening, you could at least jump over and that way you can notify us, hey, I'd love for you guys to talk about this or I had a question about what you said already.
Yeah.
Text the word quiet to the number 893-893 and you can subscribe to the channel too so you get the notifications.
You're making me think about the bonus episode that we did with my parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where people left comments. We also received some emails, but just the connection that was made through, they were talking about very serious stuff there, dealing with mental illness and depression. And the people who were commenting below, I mean, they had lived some hard stuff, but also were able to connect with, okay, now I have more information. I have tools. We could even address that if we saw a question in there. And some of this stuff can be life-changing, especially when you're discussing mental illness.
Sure. Sure.
So we're grateful to be able to connect in that way and talk it out. And I like comments anyway. When they're nice.
Direct your hateful comments to R. Carrillo at no. Maybe something sparks something about one of the, you know, even if you maybe started binging these podcasts and you're on an episode from a year ago and you have a thought on what we said. We'll discuss anything again. Absolutely. Yeah. This is our weekly quiet time and we'd love to talk about whatever.
And speaking of weekly quiet time, this was not even a place that I thought I was going to go yesterday. So I am, as they say, perimenopausal.
Oh, okay.
And it has been now confirmed. It's like, I wonder. And then it's like, oh, really? I'm sitting in a puddle of my own sweat.
Yeah, right.
Because this is a hot flash.
Uh-huh.
And like when I was talking to my physician, she was explaining, she's like, are you getting hot flashes? I said, I don't know, define a hot flash. Just like, it's like she had a camera on me for the last several months of my life. Okay, so yes, you're having hot flashes, Rochelle. Exactly her explanation was what I was experiencing. But as I was talking some stuff out with her, my levels, the older you get, and maybe you've noticed this in your own life or when you have loved ones that are older, you start discussing more about medications that you take, pain things that you're dealing with. Like this becomes priority in conversation. Your weekly phone call to the loved one. Mm-hmm. Well, my hip's been acting up, you know, and the doctor so-and-so said, and trying to keep straight with all the doctors that you're talking to. Apparently, Carter, I am almost at that place where I'm.
So if I pick up the phone and call you and I say, how's your day going?
Well, the hip.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, there's nothing with my hip. My knees actually are. But I went to that appointment because I knew something was off. I could feel it in my system. Turns out, yeah, some stuff was off and trying to figure out, okay, how do I get back on track? And I was very humbled in that moment because my doctor is a believer and she had no problem speaking directly into my life with love, but also a little forcefully because I was kind of finding myself living in Excuseville.
Okay.
She's like, Rochelle, your sugar's a little high. How can that be? I drink all this water. I exercise. I watch what I eat. What about the weekends? Well, at least I'm mindful of the ice cream I put in my mouth over the weekend. Okay. Well, you're going to have to make some changes. But did she hear all of my amazing excuses as to why these numbers can't be accurate, you know?
She seemed undeterred.
No, she was on track and I was off track. And I started letting her see a side of me that I try to keep hidden a lot of the time. Because especially, you know, if you have a job where you might be more seen than others, if you're a leader, you're a principal of a school. You know that people are going to be looking at you in the assembly room. They're going to be looking at you. This, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a pastor, people be looking at the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a pastor come down front when it's an altar call? That's a good question, right? Have you ever seen
it? Oh, I see what you mean. I mean, yeah, they're standing there all the time.
Because
for himself, right.
Yeah, I'm talking about asking for prayer. Mm-hmm. I have actually been blessed to see that a few times. But there's this, I know that I have to maintain a certain decorum.
Right, right.
Because I maybe this isn't my time to show that I'm feeling weakness.
Yeah, there'd be dealing with that. There'd be that... You'd wonder about the well-being of people mentally and spiritually if a pastor came down and gave his life to Jesus after he'd been the pastor there for 15 years.
Sure.
And then, and it's like, you know, from the rest of us, like, that's a great story. You found authentically a relation with Jesus. But for the pastor in that church, what about the people that were there the last 15 years? Like, can I believe anything he's ever said? You know?
Yeah.
So I get the perception.
Absolutely. Yeah. And understandably, if they choose not to make that place a setting where they feel comfortable, but they need to find some place.
True.
And so I was bringing that up to her and she said, Rochelle, where in the Bible is it that you're supposed to keep this visage up?
This is your doctor?
This is my doctor.
All right.
That you're supposed to... If you need, because I told her, I said, I've often thought about going to counseling, but I kind of felt uncomfortable because what if that counselor listens to our radio show?
Mm-hmm.
So what? She's basically saying, so what?
Go ahead, doctor. All
you
right.
Know, man. Now, she said, it's between you and the Holy Spirit to work all of that out. But she put something like a wrench in my own works there. And she humbled me. And she asked me, do you have a quiet time? I do the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. Yes. Apparently you're too busy with your patients and helping people not die. You can't listen to the podcast, but yes.
So she hasn't texted the word quiet to the number 893-893.
But that, when she said that, it hurt my pride. Mm. She's bringing this up because she is sensing in me something that's very weak, that's exposed, that's vulnerable. And she's trying to bring aid to it. But I thought I had my stuff together and I'm just bringing you these physical concerns, but it's all tied together because we are spirit, mind, and body. It's all one, right? So I don't know. I thought I'd share just that moment of weakness where stung my pride. And I thought, well, man, am I cherry picking the quiet time moments with God? Mm. Maybe he's been trying to share this with me, but because I'm glazing it over, because she started picking up on stuff in my past that needed healing when it came to monitoring food and such. Let's bring this stuff to the table. Let's get some healing going on here. Otherwise, you keep slapping a Band-Aid on it.
Mm.
I'm like, man, she's preaching to me the stuff that I say.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang
yeah.
it.
Well, and that's and I think we've shared this before, but I'm reminded of when I had a family member elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Another family mm-hmm. member during a sermon. And now the person that received the nudge was a jokester and said, I think the point of listening to a sermon is assessing yourself. You don't think about other people when you hear a sermon. But obviously, I think even what you're saying is you're even thinking about potentially when you're doing a quiet time, you're thinking about the parts of yourself where you are comfortable to kind of be open-handed.
Yeah.
To be, I'm releasing this. I have no problem giving God this part of my life, but maybe when it comes to my finances or this personality trait that right. I just kind of lock away. There are things that I think we shy away from.
Mm-hmm. And application. I mean, this is what this is all about. Applying what I've learned. Did I? My husband's a registered nurse, and he's going to love me for putting him on the spot. But he is so good at taking care of everybody else. The other day, his back went out, and he's on the floor, and he's doing everything he knows how to do. But there's apparently a guy pretty close by. It takes a year for us to make an appointment with him, so maybe that's deterring him a bit. But I said, honey, put it in, because a year from now, no doubt, your back keeps going out. Put it in, and he has trouble making time for himself. I think we can all relate to that. We're taking care of others. We're not taking care of ourselves. What does the Bible tell us about that? It does talk about us being the church. Our body is the temple. If that's an important part enough for scripture to talk about, perhaps my body being available to share Jesus's message,
yeah.
you know, and keeping it as best on track as I can.
We've seen such bad examples in yeah. people that... are all about themselves.
Speaking of nudging people, I've just nudged my husband who's not even here.
Great job. You just did the thing.
We talked about gossiping not too long ago. Right.
But I do get the, you know, you want to be as far away from that bad example as possible where somebody's so self-absorbed. So I'm going to make sure that I never go there when there is that fine line of taking care of myself compared to being absorbed with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes you don't like the answers when you start seeing him in scripture. Mm. But I want him to, as David has sung and written, to create in me a pure heart. I want him to uproot anything that is anti-Jesus, that does not promote his kingdom, that does not promote health mentally, physically, emotionally, for my children, for the people who maybe benefit from the platform that God has given me in my life with personal family members, or even the radio show we do, this podcast. And so when we're giving these things over to the Lord and we're stressing out, you know, obviously the Psalms are filled with great reminders of this. But so I was reading in Psalm 65 about God's nature, and it just... let me just read it. It'll go faster if I read it. Sometimes it just go on and on.
A summary is supposed to be shorter than the written piece. But and this, somehow.
Yes. But I get excited, and then I tend to like see squirrels in the midst of squirrels, and there's a whole farm of squirrels.
Yeah. A squirrel farm.
So
yeah.
Journaling has been helpful to me.
That's
but
good.
Nature testifies to God. Where no man has farmed and planted, there still is provision. So you go and you see, I mean, just in wild valleys, mountaintops, things that seemingly are untouched by man. Nobody's planted farm there. But there is still provision for the animals there. There's provision. If we know where to look for it, we can find berries in the wild.
Yeah.
You know, is it Bear Grylls? Grills? Bear Grylls? I can't remember how to say his name.
Bear Grylls, yeah.
He showed us how we can survive.
Of course, he stayed at a hotel in between some of those shoots.
I mean, that's true.
And allegedly.
Some of the pictures he painted, he's like, that's God's provision where you have to drink stuff.
Oh, right. Yes.
But if you know. But here's the thing. Man cannot force rain to water, nor sun to dry. Man must have seed in order to plant. This is not something he can create. Now, we've manufactured in modern times— But in order for us to create, we have to have a basis to start with. We can't just, you know, derive something out of nothing. Mm. But I know somebody who can.
Yeah.
God can. And so where you may see desert and wasteland in your life, remember, God made this world out of nothing. He can do anything, and he can make something happen in that desert wasteland that might be your life. And it's not done in your strength. That's always the reminder. This is not – I can't. So why do we put the stress on ourselves to do it? Why am I stressing about the things that I'm stressing? Well, I see those numbers on the sheet from my doctor, and I'm like, oh my word. It really did freak me out. You can even testify to that. I came in the next day when I found out, oh, this is off and this is off. And yeah, I had to have some medication switched around.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my word, he put the sun in the sky, and guess what he made it out of? Nothing.
Yeah.
And so when I start to have these kinds of struggles, I also wrote this a while back. How do we remember that he set the sun and made it out of nothing? How do we remember that God dresses the lilies of the field and Solomon and all of his wisdom was never as glorious as they are? You know, how do we remember those things? So I have a friend who is very good at setting reminders. This is what I wrote in my journal. And you do it on your phone and you've got a lot going on in your life. And I'm talking about Carter Price.
Yeah, that's me. I can actually
show the phone, show the reminders.
If we put the camera on me, I can show all my reminders. Some of these are, you know, expired, and some of these are all just,
they'll just go off in the middle
reminders.
Of the show.
Some of these are for a year from now. I actually, I want to have an inception moment.
That's longer than a CVS receipt.
I have a reminder to show reminders.
Wow.
For this moment right now.
It seems crazy, but.
But what's good, I get to check that off, and that felt great.
That feels like when I hit the mosquito.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So no, but you set those reminders and it really is helpful. Myself, our producer, Raina, we're so grateful that you set those reminders because the things that we thought about in the past, and we're like, oh yeah, we need to remember to do that. No,
nobody's going to actually remember it.
And so that's what I wrote down. Okay, so you need the digital alarms. Otherwise, we'd be lost. And it's not that you don't know your schedule.
Sure.
But without those reminders, you're going to be overwhelmed. You got the outside stuff. And those phone chimes and those texts to your phone help you stay on track. The reminders refresh Carter about his business at hand. So David fills the Psalms with reminders just like that. So he's in the midst of father-in-law trying to kill him. Wife is no longer my wife. She's now that guy's wife. He's running in caves. David's got quite the story, right? And not to mention the business that comes in later when he realizes he's betrayed God, betrayed a man, killed that man, killed other men to kill the man, been unfaithful with that man's wife. It's a horrendous list. But he fills his Psalms with reminders and reflections. God is his refuge. God alone is his salvation. God is steadfast love. When this world's itinerary starts to overwhelm, make sure that you have reminders in place, that these Holy Spirit messages are coming through. God's got you. Remember how he had you the last time and the next and for always. Trials are temporal, but God's everything, which means that encompasses all good, is eternal.
Yeah.
And this is temporal. Yeah, my numbers are off, but this body is temporal. I knew that. I know that. I need those reminders. Okay, Rochelle, this lasts for a moment, but we're working towards something that's lasting a lifetime. And so setting my sights on Jesus, it tells us over and over again, fix your eyes, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, that's my favorite, Matthew 6:33. All these things will be taken care of.
It's good. It's a good reminder because I've often, when I've not set a reminder, gone, how could I be so dumb? I knew that I had that lunch. Mm-hmm. I knew it. It was truth. I know it, but I just didn't remember it. And yeah. I mean, the same can be said. Of course, we know this stuff, that God is holy and loving and all powerful and provides.
You brought up a really good point, though. We beat ourselves up about it, too. Mm-hmm. And I think I did that in the doctor's office yesterday.
Sure, yeah. I know this stuff.
But I know that. She even said this, Rochelle, you have quiet times. You clearly, in that time, you read God's word. You know this stuff. Yeah. So maybe spending less time beating yourself up because you knew the thing. But God, his mercies are new every morning. He's so gracious to forgive if we've forgotten. Mm. And it really does stink. If you think about it, like even the way we beat ourselves up, even looking in the mirror, it would be like if my son came to me and created something beautiful for me and me nitpicking it, he would walk away crushed. Or if somebody did that to something I had created. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to kind of think about that. What am I doing to the master who is the creator, who can make things out of nothing? Mm. I'm telling him what he did wrong. Mm. I'm stupid. I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. These things that we just tell ourselves. And it's been pointed out to me by a friend. Stop saying that. You're not.
Yeah.
What are you in Christ?
Was this also your doctor?
No, it was Raina. She keeps coming up on our show a lot.
That's great, too. I just figured, I mean, your doctor is saying all the right things on this
episode. She should probably be my counselor.
So. I was going to say, if you need one. So I want to burst everyone's bubble about one of the all-time favorite verses.
Is it a thought bubble?
It is not a thought bubble or song bubble, like the mosquito. But first, I want to get to, I just remembered something that we've had a conversation about this week, where I confronted a friend after I realized that she was joining, well, some people would call it a cult, but a church that is not true.
That you've done research on and—
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and, you saw that on social media.
Yeah, it's like she was joining the church and I'm like, okay, hold on. All right, what do I do? Because— If I was like with her,
yeah.
Which we're not, you know, we're like Facebook friends. We're not like in real life friends. We don't hang out.
Yeah. No, so it's good that you're even questioning, is this my place? Because
yeah, like, yeah. It wasn't some stranger. Though, I'm sure situations where it'd be a perfect timing to tell a stranger.
Sure.
But generally, if you're going to tell somebody on Facebook that you don't know, they're probably not going to listen to you.
Yeah, we have no relationship at all, but you're super wrong.
But listen. You're dumb. No. And so I'm like, okay, how do I say it? How do I say it if I'm going to say it? So I message her. I don't comment on the post. I message her and I say, hey, you know, hope you're doing well. Been a while since we've seen each other. And I just want to let you know that, you know, because I know that she's been a Christian for a while.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I just want to let you know that this church really has some beliefs that don't seem like it at first, but they're really the antithesis, the opposite of what the Bible says. Mm. And I'm like, I get in this culture, it probably seems like I'm being judgmental towards this church, but I could point out a couple of major things if you ever wanted to talk about it. And she responded with, she was like, no, I see this as a concerned friend reaching out. Tell me more.
Oh, I'm glad it was received well.
And we got to have a great conversation. So, I mean, really, there's nothing more to say right now other than I just wanted to encourage you if you're like, how do I say it? Because today it just get it, you know, people are going to respond with, don't judge me. And how could you say that about these nice people? And it's like, we really need to be blunt even with when it comes to the truth.
I feel like you weren't blunt, though. I feel like you were super humble about it because you prefaced it.
I don't mean brash, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it like this. Okay. I heard this quote. I heard this quote, and I love it. In fact, I want to make sure to read it verbatim because I absolutely love what – it was actually Mike Winger from the Bible Thinker podcast shared. He said, I don't want to be so gracious that I pretend bad ideas have more merit than they do. Mm-hmm. For the sake of being agreeable, I don't want to be so gracious that I pretend. Like if somebody says, well, you know, you believe in Jesus and I believe in Buddha and you know, we're all going to the same place. I don't want to walk away from that conversation going,
did I step up for truth?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. No. I don't want to walk away with them thinking, yeah, cool. We kind of believe the same thing. I want to be bold in the manner of saying, here's what truth is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't want to be brash and yell at people, mm-hmm. but I don't want to be so muddled and watered down that they walk away going, yeah, well, we're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, no, I think in this day and age where everybody is lax in doing their homework, at least that's the impression we have on the internet.
Seems like it.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's true. That was a very broad stroke I just did, blanketing the whole world with everybody.
It's
just lax.
It's true for many.
But we don't do our homework per se on, you know, I'll use this as an example. I'm sitting in a movie theater and they're showing an advertisement on the screen that looks like it would be great for kids. And then I see the rated R rating.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, goodness. I hope parents are checking this out before they're taking their kids because the poster is going to make it look like this is for kids.
Sure.
And there have been other films that have come out like that where you realize quickly, this is not a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And if I've done my homework as a mom and dad, then I'm going to know that going in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We do that, I feel like, even with faith. If we see the name Jesus somewhere incorporated, I even remember thinking as a child, and rightly so, you know the Hebrew name for God is Jehovah. Mm-hmm. So if I see that in a group of people named Jehovah Witnesses, mm-hmm. then that's a this is going to have something to do with my faith. Mm-hmm. And there may be more of an open door kind of, come on in. I think, first of all, everybody is welcome at Jesus's table. I'm not telling people to shun others, not at all.
Right.
I'm just saying I need to do my research, my homework, even in our own faith. It's something I keep feeling like I've been exposed to with ancient Christianity. Kids who grew up in a Christian home, not just today. We're talking the very earliest Christians, almost 2,000 years ago, right? They grew up in a Christian home. And time after time, when they go to college, guess what happens? When they go away from their home and they start to learn at a higher education level, they stray from that.
Yeah.
I just read about this. Okay, what was his name again?
St. Augustine.
St. Augustine. Okay, so Augustine, he had a fascinating history. First of all, his parents, he was part of a biracial marriage, and that was fascinating to me. But his mom, strong, strong Christian, he goes to college. We'll call it college. It probably wasn't like, hey, let's go to Harvard. It wasn't like that.
Was he a floor ambassador so that he got free tuition and free meals?
He's in charge of the dorms, right? But he did, at his time there in higher education, other people were bringing along different belief systems. And maybe he saw some hypocrisy in Christianity, and understandably so. You're going to see heresy in the midst of good things too. That's why we have to do our homework, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he shunned away from the church for about 10 years. But then he read the Bible. Something wasn't setting well. God still had his heart. Something wasn't setting well. And his mom, being a praying mom, he came back home. He came back home to Jesus, and he became this incredible. I mean, the guy wrote beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the books that stood out, Confessions, there's a quote from there about finding our rest in God. It was so beautiful. But anyway, that was back in, I don't know, the 4th century. So it was a long time ago.
It's been a bit, yeah.
It's been happening, though, every single century since, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Feels like kids are straying. And I found that so hopeful. We've even mentioned this in past podcasts. If you've had a child that has strayed, that there is always hope. That seems to be something like they have to go out and make their faith their own.
Yeah.
Not my mom's faith, not even grandma's faith. That definitely will be instrumental in their future because they'll remember grandma and mom.
It reminds me of that parable when Jesus asks, he asked the question at the end, but it's about the two individuals that were asked to do something. Mm-hmm. And one said he'll do it and never did it. And then the other said, I'm not going to do it, but they did it. He said, which one was obedient? And they replied, the one that actually did it.
That's good.
And it reminds me of, would we rather our kids grow up in church and just know church and they never leave, but
go through the motions.
They never actually have a relationship with Jesus. Or would we rather them wrestle with these things and then eventually find a place where it's like, no, I believe wholeheartedly for myself.
Obviously we want both. We wish that our kid was always
would never leave
in alignment. Absolutely. And those have been known to happen. But you know, it's interesting. This gentleman we just talked about, we've even seen it with modern day examples of Billy Graham's son, Franklin. Mm-hmm. He was a rebel.
I don't think I realized that.
Okay. He was the kid who wasn't, that's not going to be the guy that inherits the ministry or whatever. Mm-hmm. You see it over and over and over again. They have a story to share where they have literally played the dark keys of life to understand fully the meaning of the major keys that plays a sweeter melody. Mm. You kind of have to have both in order for the whole story to get shared. And honestly, I'm more prone to listen to a person that's got some baggage.
Sure.
Because I know I got it.
Yeah.
And they've been through stuff. Okay, I've been through stuff. Maybe they can connect with me and help me with that. But anyway.
Well, and from our side of it, what we were talking about is like, it's like the homework table, right?
Yeah.
From when I say our side of it, I mean, if you're a person of faith and you have somebody in your life, maybe it is your kid that is not getting it, that they are not following Jesus. Mm. It hasn't clicked. Mm-hmm. And it would be like sitting there trying to do those math problems.
And I want to do it for you.
Yeah. You can't.
You can't do it for them.
No, that's a good point. But you also just like, you stand back and you see it. You see the answer on the page.
Yeah.
All you see is the formula. You see the two, let's even say a younger age, you see the 2 + 2 and you're just like, you write it under the thing. It's 4. It's 4. It's 4. And they just sit there for 10 minutes not getting it.
The good thing about that story is that, and I know you're getting to the point, you're still sitting by them when they're doing it.
Sure.
So when they are testing the waters with maybe other faiths, or they're talking about that kind of stuff, you can always guide them as best as you can back to what you know to be, this is the standard.
But you want it to click.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't. And there is a propensity to, because I've done it, right? I've done those math problems and you're up at 11 o'clock at night. And you're like, why am I even doing this? I know. This is a waste of time. I'm never going to get it. Right. I'm never going to get it. And you feel because of their now frustration that that's going to be true. And the same is said with faith. People questioning, deconstruction, leaving, abandoning, never coming to it, you know, whether they, maybe they weren't involved in youth group, then they go off to college and you're thinking, well, there is just no hope. And I just, we, just like any good parent or teacher would never give up on a child trying to get through that problem, we should also never give up on somebody that is struggling to understand Jesus, grace, and faith.
And never write them off like that. You know, as long as you stay at the table. So you're at the homework table. You stay there.
Right.
Now, they may get up and walk away, but they know where to find you.
Yeah.
There's a quote that I heard the other day. It was put like this. You can never force someone to be in the place where you're at, but you can let them know where you'll be when they realize they need you.
Yeah, I love
that. They need to find where you're at. So, yeah, I like the analogy of the homework table. I think it's very relatable. So there's always hope for those people who are even – I mean, this guy, Augustine, he led others astray in that 10-year period where he was astray. You know, maybe you're thinking, but this person in my life has done so much stuff and they brought other people, quote, down with them. So did this guy who's like become one of the big ones in the church, right?
Well, how do we address his first name? Saint.
Saint Augustine.
I mean, obviously, he did okay in the end.
You know, it's been very helpful talking about exposing your weaknesses. He did that. The book Confessions we just mentioned, he wrote out all the stuff that he did within those 10 years. And I don't know if it's because he felt the burden of that and was trying to therapeutically write it out, but it has been, I think, in many ways therapeutic for the church to see, and he kept pointing back to the foundation of our faith in Jesus, that God, who was in fact Jesus and Jesus God, chose to, if I can say this correctly, chose to go into the world that he had created himself, to be born of a woman that he had birthed himself, and he would do that for someone like me that he created. It's just... those kinds of reflections are just so beautiful and so helpful to know that if he cared that much, then he would be able to forgive the atrocities that I've committed over the past 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then some, because we're not going to be free fully from sins. We're going to be tempted is what I mean. We are, when we say yes to Jesus, certainly free indeed.
Yeah. Right.
We're free from the bondage of sin. We are free from hell. We're going to heaven. We got our sights there. But it doesn't mean we're free of temptation, that we could fall back into sin.
Very true.
So anyway.
Well, I want to burst bubbles, as I said in my Sunday school lesson. I'm going over Jeremiah anyway, but then it just so happened. They're like, hey, we're going over Jeremiah, you know, and I was able to sign up and teach a week. And it's Jeremiah 29, specifically Jeremiah 29:11.
Before you burst this bubble, can I tell you what I feel about bubble bursters? When you were on the playground and they had the bubbles and you were trying to make the biggest one.
Oh, right.
And there was like a competition like, oh, did you see that? Or even like you're blowing bubbles with bubble gum.
Right, yeah.
Make the biggest bubble, not just the one with the...
Yeah,
the soapy water. I'm telling you, Carter, those people that come up and pop that bubble before I was ready for it to be popped, I'd like to pop them.
Well, nobody has ever uttered the phrase, hate to burst your bubble, and meant it. Nobody hates bursting a bubble for some reason.
Secretly enjoyable.
But I'm going to actually chat about this next week because I kind of brought up that other thing about confronting my friend in a loving way. So next week, Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, you're going to burst the bubble of that.
I'm going to burst the bubble of that verse and how it does not apply to us in the way that we so often say.
Yeah.
But still applies to us.
Is this something that I could guess at what you're going to tell us, or is this going to blow me away? Is this going to blow my bubble away?
You can choose to try and guess, but please don't, so that the cliffhanger is there. for next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.
And next week, I will also be wearing a new shirt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of those ones with the soapy water. That's what I thought you were going to bring. And then
let's
I could just reach out and then just burst.
I'm sure our tech guys would love that.
Yeah,
this equipment.
That's exactly right. So obviously that'll be next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't moved over to watching, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893.